Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome to this week's episode of Right Here in Mass. Today's guest is Ashley Trezzaline, the founder of Bella Foodie and a personal chef who has shared her love of health and wellness through food for more than 6 years. After living with MS for over a decade, Ashley discovered the power of clean eating and knew she had to share it with her community. Her expertise has allowed her to educate all age levels from 4 to 100 on the value of healthy organic food and its impact on overall health. Ashley, thanks so much for coming on the show. Please share more about you and what you do.
So I like to say that I'm a personal chef and food educator because I love to teach. I teach cooking classes and I teach anybody from that's old enough to learn. That's why I say four, because that's about the age everyone goes to preschool, to 100 years old. I've taught at senior centers, but it always, I think it's funny because usually the seniors tell me I'm doing things wrong. And I never want to be like, okay, well, there's just a different way to do things because they're my grandparents' age. So I never want to be like, okay, I'm not going to correct you. Just do it your way. Not a problem. But I love to share my love of food. I love to spread the word about healthy organic eating. I love to share tips and tricks in the kitchen. We all need to get a little more time back. We've all become more aware of what we're eating, what we're putting in our body, what we're putting on our body, and everything in our environment. So I just want to help people along the way. And I know what it's like when you get diagnosed with something and they're like, okay, now you have to change your entire life. And then you're standing in a store or a farmer's market going, now what do I do?
Right. Yeah. And I know that you had shared, or I had read in your bio that you discovered the power of clean eating after living with MS. So I'd love to share more about that, especially for our listeners who may be going through something similar where they might have a chronic condition or chronic illness that they need to manage as well. And their diet is the way to do so.
So I was diagnosed when I was 21. So when I got sick and I started showing signs, I was in my late teens. And because of that, let's face it, like when we're that age, we think we can eat everything, we can drink everything, we can do whatever we want, and nothing's going to hurt us. And that's okay. That's what you're supposed to do when you're that age. It's okay to have junk food. And I still think that you can have junk food, just a better version of it. That's totally all right with me. But my diet over the years, I learned that what I put in my body is just as important as like my physical well-being. I always say healthy starts from the inside out. I always give the example, no matter when I'm interviewed, it's like, we all know people like a marathon runner or someone that's like crazy healthy that does triathlons. And next thing you know, you hear they drop dead of a heart attack. Well, that's because they thought they could eat anything they wanted because they're so physically fit and their diet was basically crap. And so when you're first diagnosed, you think, okay, I need to get my meds. I need to get my rest. What's happening to me? You're overwhelmed. Then you think, how do I manage this long term? For me, managing long term meant figuring out what my physical well-being was. And that took a longer time, my physical, because of all the meds and things and trying to get it right. And then I enjoyed healthy foods, but nobody realizes that it causes inflammation, some of the stuff that we eat, like dairy, or meats that I've had, like, you know, when you're a kid, you eat lunch meat and stuff. Even some adults do, like on their way to lunch, that causes inflammation in your body, the like nitrates and stuff. And so if you're first diagnosed, the best thing to do is sit down, take a breath, hire someone like me to help you, or a nutritionist or health coach, whatever makes you feel comfortable. And we can help you take that first step. I also like to help clients a little bit at a time so they don't feel overwhelmed that they have to change their entire life overnight. Because if they feel like that, they may have a mental breakdown over it just because it's too overwhelming. So we start little, like breakfast and snacks. Then we'll move to lunch once you feel like you got it.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned that because I was actually thinking about that as you were speaking. Is I can imagine that it's extremely overwhelming to have someone feel like they need to just completely make a switch with their clean eating and their diet and whatnot. So that's what I was going to ask you is like how you help them to manage that switch and make it more easy and convenient for them. So it's great that you focus on breakfast and snacks first and then go off to other meals once people feel comfortable.
I mean, yes, eventually there are some people that no matter what, they have to change their diet completely because they've gotten diagnosed as celiac or they have heart disease and there are things in their diet that they'll have to change. I mean, we may not change everything right away. And there are people, I find the older they are and they get diagnosed with, like, say, high blood pressure or something, the more resistant they are to changing. Because they don't understand, well, I ate this my whole life. Why can't I eat it now? But we just want to help. I just want to help. I want to make people feel good. I want people to live their best life. And food's a way to do that. Plus, food is a way to show love, honestly. It's made with love. You cook it. It's an act of love to share something. Or you ever notice at a party, people are always gathered around the food? People always follow me. We have a tiny kitchen. It is not, well, I mean, it's not like super tiny, but like we'll have like 40, 50 people here. And I try to spread it out throughout like a couple of different rooms, downstairs, upstairs, on our deck, depending if it's summer. No matter what I do, everyone follows me into the kitchen with food. And that's because food is part of your memories, part of what you want.
And I mean, especially like that with holidays and whatnot, when people think of certain holidays or certain celebrations, they usually think of a certain food that they have during that time. So I love that you share that food is really centered around love.
I don't mean it like, eat your feelings kind of love. I mean like it evokes memories of sharing happy times with people, or just the act of doing it is a way of showing love to your body, love to your family, love of taking care of yourself. Because I don't want people to think that I'm telling you to eat your feelings in any way. I do not mean that.
Absolutely. And one thing that I always think of too, and I imagine that this is something that people might struggle with, is that they feel like they can't stay on this path if they go out to eat to a restaurant or if they go on a vacation. So this makes me think of that because as of the time of this recording, I will be going on vacation next week. But what do you share for people? Like, what advice do you share for people who might be asking that question? As in, how do I continue my
Well,
clean eating when I'm out to dinner or when I'm away somewhere and not at my house where I have access to the things that I would need?
if you're someone like me that has food allergies, or you're celiac, or you need to do some research before you go on vacation, because you need to see which restaurants are safe for you so that you can relax on your vacation. And because people like me that are allergic to things, like I don't want to go out to dinner and then find out that the restaurant's like, we can't do that. And then I have to figure out what am I going to do? That's more stressful for me. Or they sort of figure it out and then I'm eating something that's contaminated and then I'm sick on my vacation. Not so fun for me. So I tell people to do a little bit of research if you absolutely need it. But if you're just someone that's trying to change their diet into clean eating, then think about what you order. Don't make sure you get stuff like dressings on the side, or make sure you do olive oil and vinegar is what I usually tell people. If they don't have that, do some like olive oil and ask for lemon or something. If you get a salad, go for stuff that's grilled over like, say, sauteed, fried, something like that. Broiled is always good too. They're cooked in like less fat. You can always ask them to cook it in less fat too. Don't be afraid in a restaurant that makes their dishes and that, like, puts everything together. Don't be afraid to ask them to do that or to ask them to put less butter in something. And there's always healthy options. There's always vegetables on the menu. There's always things you can eat. Just make sure that you're not overdoing the desserts or the cocktails. I mean, hey, it's your life. You're on vacation. You're allowed to have a dessert or a few cocktails or whatever. Just try not to pick the ones that are super sweet and blended. Maybe stick with things that are clear liquids. And wine is always good. Red wine's good for your heart. But I mean, if you drink three bottles of it, it
Maybe
kind of
not so much.
outweigh the like good thing. And just maybe set a daily limit of how many cocktails you want to have.
Right.
If you want to kind of keep on a thing, because if you go over a certain amount, the benefits of it not good. But you are on vacation. I'm not there to monitor you. I'm just trying to help you, like, just make sure there's some vegetables in your life and ask for things that are a little more on the healthier side. Where are you going?
Punta Cana.
Oh, well, there are fresh fruits and veggies there. It's known for some health resorts in the area. So, little beach yoga never hurt anybody.
Exactly. And I think that's all great advice, especially what you shared of just simply asking the restaurant how they cook something or if they can accommodate you. But I imagine that for people, they might struggle with asking because they worry about being too like needy or being too like difficult with things. And they have every right to ask. They have every right to ask for the sake of their health. And so with that, do you have any advice for just helping people get over the uncomfortableness that might come with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly fun to have to be like, guess what? I'm going to be the pain in the butt that does that. I worked in restaurants for a long time, but I always order last. So I let our whole party order and I order last. And then I ask them, look, here's what I'm allergic to. Here's what I'm thinking of ordering. Usually they'll go back to the chef or their manager or whoever and ask, like, okay. And they'll come back and they'll be like, you can't have this, but you can substitute this in whatever dish I'm having. Is that okay? And most of the time it is. And that'll be what we do. And don't be upset by that. Let them tell you what they can make for you and what they can't. Sometimes they have to change up the dish, but it doesn't mean that you can't have some things.
I like that. And at Bella Foodie, you work with individuals and businesses in addition to hosting classes. So, which came first as an offering, and how did you know it was time to expand into the other services that you offer?
I started with individuals and then it grew to business offerings. I did some grand openings for people, like doing
Ooh, that's
like,
fun.
how people do like a ribbon cutting or things like that. And they have an event in their store and they want to have some food. Well, I do that for people. I think it's really fun to do that. Plus, you get to see people on their best day and they get to see all kinds of fun things. And I like to make the menu as tailored to them as possible. So when people ask me, they're like, do you have a set menu? I go, not exactly, because I cook seasonally and locally. So, it might be a bad year for peaches. So this summer, we may not have be having peaches on the menu at any point. And if it's something you hate, I'm not going to give you that option. So I usually like to talk to my client. They tell me what they like, what they love, what their event's about. And then I send them a menu based on their budget. And I tell them, here's what you can get. Here's how many things you can get. And they pick what they want. And then their event feels more like them than something off a generic list of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love, especially with Massachusetts specifically, being able to incorporate foods that are local and that are in season, because I think that just adds such a nice touch, especially if it's for something like a local business. Why not support local in as many ways as you can?
I'm a member of what they call CISA. Those little sticker, yellow stickers that say local hero
Yes.
on menus. Well, I'm one of those members. I am very proud of that. That means that over 60% of the produce or products I use come from local farms or businesses like cheese or things like that. And I love talking to the farmers. I love getting to know them. So even in my business stuff, my classes or my individual work, I always make sure there's something local in everything I do.
Yeah, that's so fun. And speaking of classes, what made you want to start offering that for the local community?
I don't know what got it in my head that after I was in business for a few years, I decided I wanted to teach kids. I subbed at a preschool right out of college, and it was like the most eye-opening job I've ever had. I give teachers so much credit ever. I love kids too. And It's hard, but I want kids to understand that healthy food starts. Like, you can start eating it when you're young. It's fun to
Yeah.
cook. It's fun to get in the kitchen. Like, we were always in the kitchen when we were kids. I honestly think my great grandmother put my cousins and me in the kitchen so we didn't break the antiques from Italy. She had a small house, and I think, a bunch of kids running around, especially the boys. My grandmother and great grandma, it was like, here, go do the green beans so you don't kill each other or you don't break anything, or go shuck the cord or something for dinner.
Yeah.
But kids look at food so differently than we do. We look at it as a way to fuel our body or some diet that people think they're on or whatever. Kids are like, I don't like that. Have you ever tried it? Well, no. Well, let's see if you try it today. And I want kids to see healthy food every day on their table. I also want anybody that can afford it at any price point. I want to make the recipes so that they're able to get them. So anyone that takes my class, they can get it in some version. And most parents are just grateful that their kid eats another vegetable or fruit or some healthy dish that they want to recreate at home.
Yeah, I love that. And I forget where I read this, but I feel like I read something. So tell me if this is not true, but I feel like I read something that said if kids see their parents eating a certain food, they're more likely to eat that food as well. So if they see their parents always eating vegetables, they might be more likely to because of the familiarity of it.
Not exactly. It's a little more of it's more repetition of them trying it. Depending on their age, like babies, the toddlers, there's the rule of three. They need to try it three times to decide if they like it. I mean, as they get older, their taste buds change, but kids are also more likely to try food or eat it if they had the hand in making it as well.
Oh,
So if you
yeah.
take kids to the grocery store, which I know I have plenty of friends that have plenty of kids, and they know that taking them to the grocery store is not always ideal. So that's why I always suggest maybe taking them to the farmer's market on the weekend when you're only picking up a couple of things. Instead of, trying to convince them not to buy the sugary cereal and the cookies while you're in the grocery store, that you let them pick something out and then you guys make a recipe in the kitchen together. And the kids are more likely to eat it. It may not be something they would ever think about eating, but because they had their hands in it, usually those kids, by the end of class, I can convince them to eat whatever it was they said they didn't like and they had never tried.
I love that, especially because it's almost like a double whammy. So you're encouraging your kids to cook with you, but then you're also making those memories. And exactly like you mentioned earlier, showing that food is all about love and having really positive thoughts with the people who mean a lot to you in that process.
And it shows them, I mean, kids as old as they are, I mean, as long as they're old enough to stir a pot, or even if you have a toddler that you can sit in a high chair or whatever, let them play with empty bowls and spoons and let them see you do this stuff. I mean, it'll keep them, well, I can't say it'll be quiet if you let them play with an empty bowl and spoon. But they'll watch you do it and they'll get the idea. And then when they're big enough, have them start stirring things. Have them throw in some carrots in the salad. Have them pour things. So they start seeing how things are made and what to do.
Yeah, and I've seen in stores before that there are those like kid-friendly cooking utensils and like kid-friendly knives and stuff like that, which I think
They
is so
do.
cool.
They actually have knives where the kids have a guard on them and they're safety knives. They do cut. You need a little more force, but it's meant so that the kids don't get hurt and they can
Yeah,
practice.
that's awesome. This episode of Right Here in Mass is brought to you by Melissa J. Pond, LLC. Is your mission-driven organization struggling to secure funding or communicate your strategy effectively? Meet Melissa J. Pond, LLC, an expert in grant writing, strategic planning, and visual storytelling with over 15 years of experience in the nonprofit and government sectors. Recognized with multiple professional awards, Melissa can help create lasting change and improve the lives of those you serve. Connect with her today at melissajpond.com to see how she can add value to your organization. That's melissajpond.com. Now, shifting gears a little bit, I'm a believer in mental and spiritual health and wellness are just as important as physical health and wellness. So how do you incorporate those into the work that you do with your clients as well? I feel like it kind of relates to exactly what you said, that it starts from the inside out.
Right. So the college I went to, the little, like the symbol, there was a triangle in the middle of our like crest kind of thing. And it said mind, body, spirit on each side. And it was something that I've always taken to heart and that I incorporate, that mental wellness and your physical wellness and all that, it's all combined. So if your head's not right, it could cause problems in your gut. So if you're not taking care of your mental wellness, you could cause some internal wellness, which causes problems with your digestion. So we all need to be in balance in some way. We need to move because that helps your gut. We need to think about what mentally we need, whether it's zoning out for an hour in front of reality TV or reading a book or meditating or doing some yoga or going for an afternoon or morning walk. Whatever makes you happy, you just need to take care of those self-care moments, which I know is so hard to do. Even I'm guilty of the forgetting to take care of myself when I'm busy. But those are the things we need to help keep us internally going, because it's all connected. It's one system all together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you mentioned just taking the time to put these practices in place and make sure that you dedicate it to yourself. Because I know for me personally, I always say that, well, I'm too busy to do this and I don't have the time in my schedule to do that. And I imagine that people might come to you saying the same thing, where it's too much of a time commitment to focus on clean eating and change their diets. So what do you recommend to people, or how do you counter that when they come to you and say that, to find the time to make time for it?
Cooking is actually meditative in some ways. Think about the repetitive actions of chopping and stirring and things. And if you think about, you could listen to a podcast you like. Yours or some criminal one or some meditative podcast that you like, or whatever is self-care for you. Think about it. Think about doing like meal prep as a self-care act. So that is your time to self-care for you, your family, for your needs throughout the week, because that'll give you time back. And take it as, say, like an hour or two, however you need or how much time you need to do it. Listen to that podcast or put on your favorite show or do what you need. And that's your time. Yeah. So as much as we're busy, we have to slow down and do that, because one way or another, you're going to have to get dinner on the table.
Right.
You're going to have to feed the kids. You're going to have to feed you. You're going to have to feed your husband or partner or whatever, brother, sister, mom. Somebody's going to have to eat. So why not take the time? And then it's all rolled into one.
I fully agree. And that's how I feel too. When I cook dinner each night, I feel like mostly during like the work week, it's a really good ritual for me for like shutting my mind off from the work day and kind of turning my mind onto relaxation mode or transitioning out of work mode. And especially if I throw on my favorite Spotify playlist while I'm cooking, I feel like it's a really good decompression practice for me. And I love that you shared that, because I think a lot of other people can get value from that as well.
Yeah, I am a lot of times when I'm cooking for clients, depending on how busy I am, but if it's just like my weekly clients, sometimes I'll put on a podcast I'm listening to, or I think that's the only way I can keep up with all these new podcasts everyone has is like, right. While I'm working, I guess I'm going to put one on today.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And speaking of podcasts and the topics of shows, one thing that I didn't read in your bio, but do have in your bio on our show notes, is that you host your own show. And so I'd love if you could share with our listeners how that opportunity came along and what it's been like to produce it.
So the opportunity came about in the weirdest way. I kept thinking, I'm like, you guys really want me to host the show? Me, of all people, I'm like, okay, let's do this. So I host a show called Food for Life on E360 TV, which is an online content network. Our show is about health and wellness, but it's about sharing people's stories through food and how it transformed their life. We also have some cooking. We have some health tips. We have some kitchen tips. We have some recipes. We have a lot of fun, and we talk to experts in every field of wellness, like I said, because everything is connected. We've talked to doctors. We've talked to functional nutritionists, was my last guest. We've had Reiki healers. We've had all kinds of different people, even people in business that take these practices to their business. And we cook sometimes, and then we just have a good time.
I love that. Have you found that it has brought you clients or maybe new opportunities that might not have necessarily come from the show? Or has it really just been about sharing your passion for what you do and helping to share that advice and expertise with others?
It's really interesting. I've met some amazing people, and they
That.
live all over the country, and it's really cool. And it's really nice to get to meet them. I'm having some opportunities come up in the next few months where I'm actually going to meet some of these people in person, because
Oh,
I've literally
awesome.
been staring at them through screens for like the last year because, nobody's really been able to connect the way we usually are.
Right.
So it's neat to learn from people in different fields and to hear their stories and how food changed their life, or how they had to change their life because of food
Right.
or something that happened. And I don't know about bringing me business in general, but I love learning from people. I did find out where I'm the biggest, and I have to say New England isn't it. Where the people that watch my show, we have very few New England states that watch us.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that's so fun that you'll be seeing those people face to face because there's truly nothing like taking those connections that you meet online and actually being with that person one on one.
I know, it's so weird. It's like, I know you, but I don't know you because I haven't seen you.
Exactly. Now you get to have that in real life aspect.
I know, it's so nice, and I'm so excited for it.
Amazing. And in addition to hosting a show, you also are an educator for Greenfield Community College. One day I would love to teach at a college, so I always really admire people who do that for students. And so I'd love to hear how that opportunity came up as well.
Well, I've taught some workshops for them. During the pandemic, they were looking for all kinds of programming. And it's a non-credited workshop I taught, which a lot of people can teach different things. And it was really fun. I got to teach about staying healthy, protecting our immune system. A lot of people were looking about how to take stuff from their pantry because everything was missing, which we were back there again, unfortunately, for different reasons. And people wanted to know, like, how to save money, how to do. So I taught people how to protect their immune system through food, how to cook things, how to live off things in your pantry and your freezer. And it was wonderful. And I loved it. I did a few different workshops for them. We're looking to hopefully connect again and do some more, and do some more other places. I love teaching what I know for people, and if it helps them in some way, that's all the better.
Yeah, I love that. And I especially love that you gear the topics to be really relevant for the audience in terms of, like you mentioned, building immune system, saving money while you're doing it, and really delivering valuable advice that people can take and implement immediately.
Unfortunately, those topics are been more relevant recently. We're back to watching our money at the grocery store. We're back to how do I substitute things because the grocery store shelves are missing things that we usually get.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, that's something I'd love to ask you about more specifically because, for example, eggs, those are a hot commodity right now where people are paying very expensive money for what eggs would normally cost. And so I imagine that that's probably an excuse, quote unquote, that people might give when focusing on clean eating is that they're like, well, it's way too expensive when I can just spend $1 or $2 on this really not so great food for me. So, do you have advice for people who would like to be able to get better with their diets on a budget?
So I am going to tell you that there is a farm in Connecticut here that sells to my local market. their pricing hasn't gone up much. Instead of being like $3.99 for the 12, is now like $4.50. Whereas some eggs now were up to, I think, $7 or $8 for a dozen some places. So for me, I can say look for something like that when you go to the store. It's still from a local farm. And they're more of a mass produced kind of local farm. So I bake with those. I do things like that. If you're baking, there's a ton of substitutes. You can do anything from flax eggs. You can do apple unsweetened applesauce. You can adjust the oil and ratios and things. There's a whole list of things you can substitute. You also, if you want to eat eggs, like for breakfast, I say check your local farmer's market. If not, I would say just keep looking and keep them sparingly, or look for things on sale. Wait for things to go on sale and then buy a few things of them.
Yeah, that's smart. And also too, with immune system boosting, since as of the time of this recording, it's February 1st, so we're right in the middle of cold and flu season.
Oh, yes.
What recommendations would you give to people for keeping their immune system healthy?
So one, we're still doing the whole wash your hands thing. So please wash your hands before you eat or drink or whatever. And, hand sanitizer is still something that we need when we're out. Don't touch your eyes and face or nose or whatever while you're out and about. That's just a safety precaution because it's not COVID that we're worried about too. We're worried about all those little nasty things, especially if you have kiddos. They're carrying all kinds of stuff this year for them. I would say to boost your immune system, keep ginger, turmeric, and things like that in your food as you keep going along. Elderberry syrup is a wonderful thing to get. It helps you. You can take it almost every day. There's gummies, there's syrups, there's juices that have it in that. Just make sure you know where it's coming from and who it's coming from because there's some mass-produced ones that the dosing isn't quite right. If you get a cold, zinc is a good thing. You can overdo it, so just make sure you keep your dosing right. What else? Make sure that you're eating enough protein and you're keeping enough fruits and veggies. Anything green will always help your immune system. And I would say any superfoods, keep them in your diet, keep them rotating. That'll keep you up to date. And, try not to do all those awful things that we keep telling you not to do, like smoking and, I don't want to preach about that too much, but let's just, use the common sense on those, okay?
Yeah, great advice. And I'd love to shift gears a little bit and talk about what you did before Bella Foodie. I know you've mentioned a few things that you've done with your career, so I'd love to hear like a full scope of what you did previously and how that actually translated into you transitioning into having Bella Foodie.
It's really funny. I had a few different careers before, like out of college. I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I tried a few different things. Out of college, I did marketing at a finance company, which makes everyone laugh if they know me. It was not the job for me. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should be doing it.
Great advice.
That is what I learned from that. I substitute taught and did like after school for the preschool for a few years. I love the kids, but I am not cut out to be a all day teacher for things. Yeah, it's just not my thing. And I, God bless teachers for the last few years. Everyone I know is a teacher. I'm grateful for them. And there's the whole, let's see, what else did I do after that? That's pretty much it. I nannied for my friends for a while, right before while I was setting up the business.
Very
So I
fun.
really didn't do too many different things because in between all this, they were playing with my medications and finding the right disease modifying therapy for me. So I was really, really sick.
I bet. And so ultimately, was it MS that kind of led you down this path and then really inspired Bella Foodie, or did you always have an interest in food education and wellness?
I've always had an interest in food. People tried to pay me for my food for years before I even decided to start Bella Foodie. I took over like cooking for our family parties and things long before I started the company. I also, like, when I was a teenager, took over like holiday baking and all of our traditional kind of stuff just because it was fun for me and actually relaxing. And I started Bella Foodie when I was 29. I got the idea of my 29th birthday. I didn't have a partner or husband or whatever you want to call it, and or kids. And I decided that if I don't have a family to support right now, now is the time to start a business. Because once I get married or have a family and I have to support them, making that leap is going to be so much harder. So when I turned 30, I started Bella Foodie.
So fun. And now look what you've been up to now with everything that you've been doing. It's so interesting to like think about what things were like when you first started a business, and then now see where you are and think back years later and you're like, wow, I've really done a lot and never thought I would have done this.
Yeah, there's some things that I've done that probably weren't the best fit in the beginning for us. I mean, we all do things that weren't the best, and then there were things I've learned a lot along the way. I'm grateful for my lawyer and accountant because those are things that if you can't do it yourself, don't be afraid to outsource it. I mean,
Absolutely.
I am not one for the numbers and the taxes and the things. So I have an accountant to help me because business taxes are complicated depending on what kind of entity you are. And it's worth having a good accountant. My lawyer helps me with things like contracts and stuff that are complicated and sales things. That's all stuff that I love that they're here to help. But that's things to think about when you're starting a business. I did. Different services have changed over the years, like we talked about. I added things as I got going. And I mean, even to the point where now I do some influencer work for local and some national brands, which
Awesome.
I love. It's cool. I get to meet cool people, I get to do fun things. The only thing no one ever told me having a food business meant I had to be in front of the camera.
Yeah, which is interesting because I feel like I follow a few nutritionists and other people in the food space on Instagram, and they do a lot of stuff in front of the camera. So it's kind of funny, exactly like you said, it's just something you never would have thought would be a requirement, quote unquote, but something that takes up so much of your time.
Yeah, I thought like I could take videos of food or post just pictures of food, and then like there'd have to be like one picture of me on the website. And then it never occurred to me that people want to see me and get to know me, and you'd have to do interviews or do demos on TV. I don't know why that thought never crossed my mind.
And now here you are with your own show.
Yeah, that's the thing is being the center of attention is like the last thing I like to do.
Gosh, yeah, I can totally relate. And you had mentioned a really great point, which is the fact of just bringing in other vendors to take care of the business aspects that don't necessarily excite you or things that you don't necessarily want to do, which I also totally agree with. And so with that, it makes me think of just being able to support other local businesses. And so, would you say that you have any local businesses that you frequently love to support, or some that you would deem to be some of your favorites?
Speaking of being in front of the camera, I want to say Hillary Lynn Photography and Brands. She makes me look amazing every single time I am in front of that camera. And I mean, she gets me to do silly things so that I look good in front of the camera because I hate getting my picture taken. And, you know, it's not like being a food person and a chef says, hey, guess what? You get to be a model now. Like, how do you learn that? So Hillary's fantastic. I love my friend Kelly's shop, the Grotty Shop. It's online and she now has a physical location here in Mass. I love her makeup. Speaking of which, I have her eyeliner and mascara on today. And let's see. Oh, speaking of elderberry syrup and things, Mama Life Oils. She has fantastic elderberry products and they are highest of the highest quality for people.
Awesome. Good to know. Well, Ashley, this has been such an awesome episode, and I've really enjoyed learning more about you and everything that you've been doing with Bella Foodie. And I imagine our listeners will feel the same way. So now I'd love if you could share with our audience where they can find you online if you'd like to connect with you further.
Okay, to find us online, it's www.bellafoodie.net, or you can find us on Instagram at bellafoodie7 or on Facebook. You can just look up Bella Foodie. And we are so excited to connect any way. You can DM us, you can email us, we have a contact form on our website. So whatever makes you comfortable, we're happy to talk anytime.
Perfect. And I will link to those in the show notes so that way people can click through and find you from there. But thank you so much again for coming on today's show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.